Here we go. So let's just bring ourselves back to this moment, this place. And none of us died in the last 15 minutes. That's great. Us. We're still here. We've enjoyed ourselves in that time, I'm sure. I did. May whatever joy we feel be shared as widely as possible. May everyone have access to that inner quality of joy, joyfulness, playfulness. Okay, thanks. So let's just start. So I wanted to just speak a little bit about this other aspect of or other approach to equanimity, which we can have, which again comes from I first came across it in the Pali tradition, which I found very helpful. And it's an equanimity that can let go of expectations. So the first equanimity that we did yesterday morning, which was only then, it was defined, I didn't give the definition then, but the definition is given for that is an even-heartedness, an even-mindedness, and impartiality. That's what we were trying to kind of question and to dissolve, to weaken and then dissolve those boundaries between friend, enemy, and stranger, recognizing our common humanity. Attending, it says the definition continues, attending without attachment, without grasping, craving, holding on to somebody too tightly, suffocating them, or anything, you know, sort of grasping onto any experience as well. Where are we? Or aversion. I've lost the, yeah, attending without attachment or aversion, and excluding no one is our aim to do that. And that's come up time and again in the meditations. As we expand further, then we come up against those barriers of, well, I'm not sure about this person. Don't know. Definitely don't want to do it to that person. And we question those barriers. We question the assumptions that they're based on, and we weaken them, and they begin to dissolve. And our final aim is that there is no barrier. That they're just beings who require our help, and we help them with joy and great compassion. Another way, another definition that I come across is, I think I must have got this again from Christine Feldman's book, that is the attitude with which one doesn't expect anything in return for one's help, and being indifferent to pleasure and pain and to any benefit and harm one might receive. So again, we talked about, you know, the best doctor, accepting that the best doctor can't cure everyone and every disease. And, you know, to accept that's how it is. We do our best, we try our best, we offer what help, and we recognise, I think I mentioned it also this morning, we recognise that the other person is an individual on their own life's path, where we have the karma to help them, where we are close to them. Like Sally, I think you were saying to your niece, where we have a close karmic bond with somebody, then there is perhaps more potential to help. But, you know, by and large, as we are, as ordinary sentient beings, what we can do is limited. And to accept that, to continue to do our best, like Greta and the starfish, to continue to do what we can and accept that that's the best we can do. That's all we can do, in fact. And it also kind of, where she talks about being indifferent to pleasure and pain, to any benefit and harm, it kind of links up with, I don't know if you've come across teachings on the eight worldly dharmas or the eight worldly concerns. I don't know if they're familiar to you at all. But often our actions are guided by these, you know, well, I'll tell you what they are, first of all. So this is a quote from Alex Berzin, another highly recommended teacher. Praise or criticism? We want praise, we don't want criticism. Good or bad news? We want good news, we don't want bad news. Gains or losses? We want gains, we want things, we don't like to lose things. And things going well or things going poorly? Then things don't work out. That's his own individual translation. You'll come across other translations of these. And he says, these are eight things that one needs to avoid becoming overexcited or depressed about. Not that we avoid these things, but we avoid becoming overexcited or depressed about, since they have a perishable basis and never last. So praise, for example, you know, hero to zero, you know, sort of great respect and acclaim. We can be, you know, the best thing since sliced bread one moment and things change. I always remember, it really struck me when, I think it was in the 2012 Olympic Games, there was that South African runner, Oscar Pistorius, and if you remember him, who was, he was got incredible acclaim and praise and respect, and deservedly so, because he, you know, he competed against full healthy bodied athletes and did extraordinarily well, you know, as an athlete who had lost part of his legs at least. And then within a matter of months, I think, he was standing in court accused of shooting and killing his girlfriend, and you know, has been in prison ever since, actually, just about, you know, coming up for parole now, I read the other day. And it just struck me, you know, the hero to zero thing. One moment everything is going perfectly and wonderfully, the next moment you could be down on your luck. And you know, there are other examples of that, obviously. These things are they have a perishable basis. You know, it's causes and conditions coming together, and they will at some point come apart. And equally, you know, the bad things, you know, they come together, cause and conditions come together, and then they dissipate and the thing is over. So, you know, we can get very caught up in our lives in these various things. And, you know, it's really not worth it if we can train ourselves. If we can recognise that these things are, these things change. So just moving on very briefly, if you're doing sort of meditation, you know, in daily life or even as a meditation and doing the phrases, but I don't know how this would work quite so well in a formal meditation, but just, you know, in our own life, you know, phrases such as, may I accept things as they are. That's how they are. See clearly, as the Dalai Lama says. May I accept things as they are. And may I be undisturbed by the comings and goings of events. Same thing, really accept what's there. So again, doesn't mean just lie on your back and take it. If there are things that you can change and do something about, then by all means do it. And as Shanti Deva again said, you've probably come across this quote, you know, if there's something you can do about it, then what's the use of worrying? Just do it. I'm paraphrasing him. If there's nothing you can do about a situation, what good does worrying do? Just accept it and live around it. Oh, in fact, I've got the actual words here. Why be unhappy about something if it can be remedied? And what is the use of being unhappy about something if it can't be remedied? A good training. So, yeah, we can, as Sally said so poignantly this morning, we can still embrace life with this equanimity. We can still respond. We can rejoice, and it becomes even more poignant, actually, as we recognise that, you know, everything around us is in constant flux. It's, you know, it's coming together. Let's enjoy it while it's here. Let's not cling on to it. Well, let's not, you know, sort of struggle to push it away. Let's just accept what is and work around that. So that's the other thing of equanimity that I wanted to say. Is there anything about any of that before I kind of sum up that, or anything from the meditation earlier that anyone wanted to say at all, or bring up or add?
No.
No?
Good. No, it's good.
Yeah? Okay, yes. Steph, yeah, what do you say?
Yeah, no, I think it just struck me in the meditation on immeasurable joy, yeah, that you said something about giving yourself permission to experience the joy, yeah, to be joyful. And that really struck a chord with me, and it made me wonder a little bit more about, I wonder if there's a deeper sort of connection between joy and love, like self-love. If the more that we have more of a love, a nourishing kind of attitude towards ourselves, then the more able we are to give ourselves that lovely term, phrase that you used about sacred idleness. Yeah. And it just, yeah, it just struck a chord for me. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And
yeah. Yeah, it's excellent. I agree with her. I'd forgotten that. And I was glad for what she said. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Of course, we love ourselves. Why not? Why ever not? We wish ourselves happiness. And the more we're able to do that, the more we're able to feel joy.
Mm.
You know, happiness and joy, obviously, they're linked, aren't they, really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
The more we have joy, the more we're able to put love back into ourselves as well.
Yeah, both ways. It's a two-way traffic.
Love. So it's a cycle.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah, thanks, Steph. Thank you. And in fact, that's, you know, that I wanted to come on to, you know, the beauty, again, of these teachings, in that, you know, that they are a complete whole, that, you know, that a balanced, you know, well-balanced presentation, really, that, you know, that they mutually supportive, they support each other. And if we veer too far in one direction, you know, for example, if we get stuck in compassion, and if we work, you know, so hard, you know, driven by our compassion that actually we exhaust ourselves, then, and we get overwhelmed, then, you know, we have from our toolbox, from our medicine chest, we can take joy, the practices on joy, and we can do those. And if we start to get, you know, kind of just, you know, carried away, as Christina Feldman said, and chasing after the experiences, then from our medicine chest, we remind ourselves of loving kindness to ourselves and to others. And if that goes over into attachment and to really, you know, kind of just thinking about my own happiness, or this is what I need for my happiness kind of thing, then we go back into equanimity. And from equanimity, if that goes too far into indifference, compassion, you know, it's a complete system, you know, actual heating system. Lelani, did you want to say something again? Anyone, please join in now.
It's been just fabulous and so much to absorb, but very clear, Lynn, and very well put, all of it. It's been fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, I'm
so much out of it.
Yeah.
And a lot to think about.
Yes.
But nothing difficult, if you know what I mean. Just
I do, yeah. Oh, well, that's very kind of you, Lelani. Thank you. And I'm really glad that's, you know, I said I wanted to share my enthusiasm for these teachings. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think they are truly wonderful. So I'm really happy that you feel like that.
That's you've definitely ignited that in me. I'm going to send off for that book and spend more time studying it. It's lovely.
Yeah, no, good. I'm glad. And I mean, and really, we've barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
You know, you can do.
Imagine.
You can do, you know, a whole course on a whole lifetime on loving kindness, a whole lifetime on compassion. And I mean, I did a weekend on compassion, and even then feeling, well, we've hardly touched it, really. That's the joy of these teachings, isn't it, really? The deeper you go, the more there is. And the more part of a struggle I had with preparing the course was just, it's like, you know, pick up one thread, you know, sort of one idea, and then a whole kind of fabric of cloth comes with it. It's just, well, where to stop?
Exactly.
You know, without getting talking too much and getting too complicated or whatever. So, but they are just so beautiful, I think, and so nourishing.
Totally. And I've got another tool now in my toolbox, which is I'm going to practice these four immeasurables every day till the rest of my life.
Marvelous. Yeah.
Because you can just keep on, as you said, you just keep on finding more and more, don't you?
Yes.
So I'm going to absolutely dedicate to finding out that more and more.
Hooray, thank you.
Well, thank you.
That's really great, thank you. How wonderful. And I think, Sally, no pressure, but did you want to say anything or not? I mean, I'm not to join in here. It's kind of...
I'm having a sacred moment of idleness because I live in a shared house with there's five of us in total. It's lovely. And I'm currently in the living room, which is on the back of the house, and we're quite high up in Leeds. And the sky is absolutely beautiful. So as I'm listening to your conversations, which is just beautiful, I've got this beautiful sound in my ears from you guys talking and being so grateful and happy. And I've got this beautiful image of the sky in front. Oh, I'm bowled over with joy right now. There's too much joy. So much joy. Wow. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful.
That's great. And actually, as you said that, I looked out of the window as soon as I thought, oh my God, it's golden. It's so wonderful. It's beautiful. So thank you. Both sides, actually. Yeah. Wow. Wonderful. Okay, so I've just got another couple of little quotes. I do love a quote, as you'll get to know, but to kind of round up the session, and then maybe we can do another little meditation if we want, or we can finish off by reciting Shantideva's dedication, which I think is truly beautiful. Should we do that?
Lynn, yeah. It's my favorite dedication.
Okay.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. We'll do that. So a couple of steps from Christina Feldman, just rounding it all up. She says, step by step and moment by moment, a home is established in the qualities that ennoble our lives and hearts and offer a life of wakefulness. In this fragile life, so easily broken and riven by affliction, we come to see that it is only kindness, compassion, joy and equanimity that make sense.
Mm.
Beautiful. And that actually that reminds me of one of the in the resources, there's a link to a poem that you'll find online called Kindness, and she says it's only kindness that makes sense. The singer, I can't recommend that poem highly enough to you. I can't read it to you because I can never finish it without breaking down. Do have a read of that poem by Kindness. It's on in the resources. There's a link to it there. Anyway, and then the last quote from Christina. If we frequently incline our hearts and make our homes intentionally within kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, these too become the shape of our mind, the homes we abide in, and they shape our world of experience in a radically different way. I think that kind of underlines the path of happiness, not just a path to happiness, but a path of happiness, as we've been experiencing this afternoon, really, I think, very much. So 15:35, should we do say a 20-minute dedication or something, 20-minute meditation where we sit and you do whichever of the meditations we like to do. We can do from by ourselves, yeah? We can do a Tong Len, or we can do a loving kindness, whichever. Is that okay with you if I just leave it free for?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's actually, I'm going to set my timer for 24 minutes because that they say is the best amount of time to meditate. So they say, the powers that be, and the timer will go off, and that leaves time just for the dedication to recite that if we want. Okay, so take a position. And if you want to meditate with your eyes open, looking out of the window, then by all means do that as well. Okay, so whatever you do to settle yourself, to calm the mind, you go into your own meditation, knowing that we're all sharing this space of meditation, this time together, working as a team. Actually, I'm going to interrupt again, sorry. I'm going to recite the four immeasurables to you, the short version, then another short quote, and then I'll leave you be. So may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. And may all sentient beings abide in equanimity, unaffected by attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then a quote from Longchenpa, who's a 14th century Tibetan Lama. Out of the soil of friendliness, loving kindness, grows the beautiful bloom of compassion, watered by tears of joy, sheltered beneath the cool shade of the tree of equanimity. So while we're still in this meditative space, let's just bring everything together to dedicate what we've shared today. And I'm very grateful that we've been able to do this to everyone who's taken part, contributed. We've spent very precious time today. As we said, very few people, beings, have the opportunity to do what we've been doing. And of those who have the opportunity, not so many make that choice. So we've done that. We can rejoice in what we've done together. The seeds that we've planted, the karmic seeds that we've planted in our mind stream, that will bring about out to the change. Already our minds have changed. And those ripples will spread out. The ripples from that change will spread out into our own daily experience, our own actions, words and thoughts, and spread out through the interconnectedness of everyone to encompass the whole planet. How wonderful that we've had the opportunity to share these amazing teachings. Rejoice, and may the ripples continue to spread out throughout time and space. And then I'm going to, thanks Steph. I'll start the reading the dedication. By all means, join in with me if you wish. So just kindly put it on the screen. Otherwise, just listen and reflect. So Shantideva's dedication comes from his Bodhisattva's way of life, slightly altered. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits, my positive actions. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain to dispel the misery of the world. That last verse is a favourite prayer of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, which he recites every day. I'm so glad he does. Okay, and one last little poem, because I can never resist this, just to remind us of joy. It's in the resources there. 10,000 flowers in spring, the moon in autumn, a cool breeze in summer, snow in winter. If your mind isn't clouded by unnecessary things, this is the best season of your life. Mm. Okay, so thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for coming and staying and participating and joining in so well.